killradio.org. It's killradio.org. It's a little bit after 7 o'clock, which might mean the people who do that comedy hour is in approximate session. All right, in the studio, we got a gaggle of people. I'm Starsky Suave.
I'm Hunky D.
Hi, I'm John Daly. I'm the guest star this evening from Standing Room Only Radio on Fridays.
Excuse me, sir, you're a guest star.
I am the guest star this evening from Standing Room Only Radio. And the other guest star is sitting right to my left. She's actually much more of a star than
How
I
does
am.
Someone sit right to your left? That's amazing.
I'm a starlet.
That's politics for you.
We also have front and center here as well.
No, I'm a starlet. I just want to make that known.
You're a starlet.
Yes.
And what is your name, Starlet?
Logan Shannon.
Thank you for being here.
Logan Shannon Starlet.
It's the people who do that comedy hour. And we will be bringing you some national corporate radio.
Word.
News from, quote, Washington, unquote.
On the way here, Starsky, I heard something on the radio that I thought was an interesting development. Apparently, the price of cocaine over the last 20, 25 years has just been going down and down, and it's as low as it's ever been right now. So investors out there, I recommend cocaine.
Buy low.
That's bad news for our president, though, because that's obviously going to create some sort of supply problem on the tail end of that.
Well,
so he may be looking at, he may just be out of commission for a while.
That's true. And they say that the war on drugs measures its ability or its success by how high the price of cocaine is, which is kind of bizarre. Like the goal is not just to like eliminate drugs or get people to just say no, as Nancy Reagan said. The goal is just to make rich people pay more and poor people not be able to afford it.
They're trying to make it like $1,000 a toot or something?
I think so.
The cocaine gap in this country is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's worse than the CEO income gap.
Yes, the sea of cocaine only rises up the yachts, not the boats.
Oh, interesting.
The powder settles at the top, apparently.
But has anyone ever made a cake out of cocaine? I hear it's quite tasty.
I imagine it gives you a real lift.
It does.
Well, there is a Pepsi cake, and I think the Pepsi cake can have coca incorporated.
Have you ever had coca cake?
I think I'm going to soon. Now that you've recommended it.
I think that's an act that you can get down on Santa Monica Boulevard. I'm not sure. But
wait, was that an endorsement?
I actually didn't recommend that.
Okay,
I just,
good.
I name dropped it.
Okay, all right. I feel better.
But I will be getting payola now in the form of cocaine. Cue Starsky Suave as Eric Clapton.
No, actually, I was singing Propane. That was the song called Propane.
Oh,
it's a little
right.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the sequel.
Yeah.
Propane. Rare sequel in pop music.
Huffing Propane.
Folks, we've got some amazing national corporate radio broadcasting coming your way in the very near future, so I do hope you will stay tuned.
We will be having What's the Point with Born Only.
That's correct. Born Only. We'll be bringing us a What's the Point. Topic for tonight's program, I believe, is going to be Alberto Gonzalez. He seems to be really playing that saw quite a bit.
Wait. That's not a news story anymore. There's nothing to see here. We should just move on. Why are we still talking about Alberto Gonzalez?
Beats me. You know, flogging a dead horse.
Okay. Well, I mean, today you're actually talking to Alberto Gonzalez, so that's pretty
different,
exciting.
Different.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I hear he has, like, phenomenal short and concise answers, so that's great. You know, he never drones on, so that's fantastic.
I appreciate and respect that.
I don't know about that.
He's so knowledgeable, too, about whatever he talks about. I'm done.
The guy's in charge. The guy is clearly in charge.
My job is done here. I can go. Thank you. Good night.
We're also going to be talking about Jerry Falwell. I believe Pat Robertson's going to be joining Boren for the program.
So. Oh, really? So there'll be an exclusive interview with
Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson. So it's a star-studded evening tonight on What's the Point. So I hope you stay close for that. You know, the excitement is thrilling my entire body.
I can see that.
I'm sorry that you can.
I'm
you can
watching your
see
figure.
It. You don't have to be... anyways...
Thank goodness this is radio.
Well, and that's why I had to tell them. And then I think we're going to be looking back to something from the Wayback Machine here.
True, and it's a story that's recently come back into the news cycle, and that is the United Kingdom, Britain is saying we need to put a gag order on all this talk about this alleged meeting between Bush and Blair and how Bush wanted to bomb the headquarters of Al Jazeera in Qatar, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. And even though the story is out, the memo has been released, they're going to try to put a gag order after the, you know, close the barn door after the whatnot.
It's the old reclassification of information.
I see.
Yeah, I think that was happening in 1984 or something. Not the year, but the book.
It's actually one step above the triple classification of information. Once you get to the reclassification of information, you're pretty much sure that nothing needs to be classified anymore.
So. Oh, that's a relief. Well, NCR is exclusive in having the recording of that meeting between Bush and Blair. Memos, yes, were released, and there's a big kerfuffle about that. But, hey, we've got the recording.
I don't think the FCC allows the word kerfuffle.
Good thing the FCC has nothing to do with killradio.org.
Fuck yeah. Can you play that now? Or
I think I can.
Sweet.
And I don't think anybody's going to stop me.
Hell no.
See if they can. All right, moving on to a segment that we aired earlier, exclusive coverage from National Corporate Radio for your edification. Here we go. We're going. Stand by.
NCRnews.com.
This is NCR, National Corporate Radio News. Our news for you.
The CIA announces that secret prisons are called secret for a reason, so stop asking about them.
Apple announces the iPod Nono, an MP3 player that will be installed directly into the user's body cavity.
And there is absolutely nothing to report about Vice President Dick Cheney. Please get back to work.
Those stories and more coming up on All Things Condescended.
First, this news.
From NCR News in Washington, I'm Snide Beguiler. In a press conference today, President Bush defended the right to monitor calls made by American citizens and persons in other countries without the approval of a court, claiming he has the right to make sure that citizens aren't getting any information from what he called the foreigners. To that end, the president unveiled his new plan to encase the entire United States in a giant freedom bubble that will protect us from the book learning, weird food, and violent monkey sex of all the other people on Earth. We were not allowed to reach the Earth's non-American citizens for comment. Preliminary results are in from the parliamentary elections in Iraq, and it appears that President Bush and his ruling Republican Party have won another huge victory at the polls there. Iraqis celebrated their President Bush and the glorious Republicans by dancing in the streets with American troops, handing bouquets of flowers to them and offering their daughters to our boys for marriage. It was right at this point in the dream that Paul Wolfowitz woke up and found he had once again stained his sheets. FAA investigators continue to examine the wreckage of a seaplane that crashed into the ocean just off the shore near Miami yesterday. Preliminary results so far do not indicate the involvement of cocaine smuggling, Fidel Castro, vote rigging, Jeb Bush, 80s fashion, or bulimic models in G-string bikinis. Floridians are preparing to sue the state government for allowing a crash this uninteresting to happen. Not only is gay cowboy movie Brokeback Mountain receiving high praise from critics across the country, but it has reportedly inspired Clint Eastwood to finally give me some man sex. Look, I don't know. I just read what they put here. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is being waterboarded at 10,701, while the Nasdaq confessed at 2412. The S&P will not break. This is NCR News. From NCR News in Washington, this is All Things Condescended. I'm No Angel.
And I'm Robert Feeble. Ever since the electrifying Downing Street memo was released in May 2005, the world has been slowly forgetting all about the Bush and Blair administration's attempts to fix intelligence in order to justify an invasion of Iraq. Around that time, NCR brought you an exclusive secret recording of discussions that high-level members of the Bush and Blair administrations had about the case for war in Iraq, but no one really seemed to care. Now, NCR has received another super top-secret recording. This time, it is from an April 2004 meeting between Tony Blair, Prime Minister of Great Britain, and George W. Bush, the figurehead-in-chief of the United States. The recording features their discussion of sacking the city of Fallujah in a white phosphorus flesh-burning collateral damage frenzy, as well as figuring out how to keep Arabic news station Al Jazeera quiet about it. Let's take a listen to this secret recording from 10 Downing Street.
Well, Georgie, our boys are certainly giving those nasty terrorists in Fallujah the what for.
It's like I keep telling American people, we gotta take the fight to Iraq, so we don't have to find Iraqis to fight over here. We're making good progress, but it's hard work to keep on rolling toward our march to freedom.
Well, yes, Georgie, whatever you say.
Now, I know we're winning. You see, Rummy and Connie told me so. But the Dickster said that we're getting some bad press from that evil Arab news channel again. What do you call it? The Al Jazeera or something?
Oh, you mean Al Jazeera?
Yeah, Al Jazzy. The thing is, I know good from evil. There's all kinds of terrorist organizations out there who just hate our freedoms.
Oh, absolutely, Georgie.
They hate our freedoms and our internets. And they don't appreciate women.
Not like we do, now.
And they don't even try to hide it anymore, you know? I mean, everybody knows Al-Qaeda is evil. Do they think we wouldn't see the connection? They both begin with Al.
Oh, George, actually, that's a common word in Arabic. It means...
I know what it means, Blair Bear. It's like hell or something. They're the enemy. I know it. The American people know it. Heck, that's why Al Gore lost. You can't expect people to vote for you when your name sounds like you're Osama's buddy.
No, George, you see, it's...
And that Al Sharpton? Not even a chance for that guy.
It means the in Arabic, George. Are you an imbecile?
No, I'm United Methodist, but I'm thinking of switching to Baptist because the Methodists are getting a little too protesty for me lately.
Listen, George, Al simply means the. For example, if you translated the White House, it would be Al Casablanca, some such thing.
Okay, Blair Witch Project, you win. Al means the evil in Arabic. But I don't have time for nuancy fuzzy talk. These guys are undermining my war leadership-tude.
But what can we do? Our stated goal is to bring democracy to the Middle East and to help it spread, liberating millions. Freedom of speech is an essential component of democracy. We can't censor them, can we?
Who's talking about censoring? We gotta bomb them. I thought you were supposed to be the brains in this President's Club, T. Blair.
I'm not a president, I'm a Prime Minister. Wait a minute, did you say bomb them? You can't be serious.
You bet. Hell, I worked in Afghanistan in 2001, remember?
George, we were actively fighting in Kabul. It was a war zone, actually. It still is a war zone, but Qatar is our ally. We can't... call a second attack on Al Jazeera an accident without arousing suspicion.
Qatar is our friend, but Al Jazeera is our enemy. They'll understand. I'll just send that leggy condi over to him. Smooth things right over.
George, please, listen to reason. Bombing Al Jazeera's headquarters in Qatar would be a huge step backward in the Middle East. For us, for our allies, for everyone.
How's that?
We want to fight the terrorists while gaining the trust and respect of Iraqis and the world. We need all the allies we can get, especially Arab allies. Don't you see, Georgie? We're already meeting stiff resistance in Iraq, with rumblings in Iran and Syria. We simply cannot afford to jeopardize our relationship with Qatar.
Well, maybe Qatar doesn't realize they got a den of evil depravity in their country.
Georgie, we can't just call an organization evil and start bombing it.
Since when? I called Iraq, Iran, and North Korea evil, didn't I? All of them. Look, I know your wife's got a French name, but that don't mean you gotta start getting Frenchy-washy on me.
Please, George, don't start in on Cherie again.
Fair enough, Care Blair. But this is my war thing, so I get to put out the ideas once in a while, see?
Well, yes, Georgie. But have you discussed this with Mr. Rumsfeld or your pappy, Mr. Cheney?
Rummy? I'm sure he'd agree with me.
I just don't think this is a particular...
Oh, hang on a second, I'll get that.
Oh, all right.
El Presidente here. Yeah. No, I think we'll take our corn dogs and old Dulces right here in the Oval Office. You like mustard, don't you, Tony?
That was an audio recording made at the White House in April 2004. It apparently reveals Bush's plan to bomb the headquarters of Al Jazeera, an Arabic news channel based in Qatar. Tony Blair played the role of the voice of reason, while George Bush played himself. Scott McClellan has called the idea to bomb Qatar outlandish and inconceivable, and possibly one of George Bush's knee-slapping humorous jokes. And join us now to explain his Heritage Foundation fellow, noted liologist, and right-wing flunky Harvey Yesman. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Yesman.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
If you would, describe for our listeners, Mr. Yesman, how what we just heard is not, in fact, cause for any concern whatsoever.
Oh, of course. President Bush is a man of the people. When he sees a problem, he solves it, like wild brush on his ranch in Crawford, Texas. Mr. Bush doesn't pussyfoot around wondering whether he should or shouldn't. What would the neighbors think? He just gets out there and clears that brush.
But he did say he wanted to bomb Al Jazeera in Qatar.
Well, sure he did, and I'd like to bomb your liberal station here in Washington, but it's not like we can't have a discussion, weigh the pros and cons, explore the options, you know. The American public should be encouraged by what they heard on that tape. Did Bush bomb Qatar? No. He simply had a meeting with Prime Minister Blair and considered some ideas to help us achieve more victories in the war on terror. Our leader needs to have the freedom to think outside the box, as it were, and explore all the options.
And bombing one of our allies is thinking outside the box?
Look, he said on many occasions that all ideas are on the table, and they'll be considered.
Such as secret prisons, indefinite detention, torture?
Hey, whatever you need to get the job done. The tools available to us in this conflict are many and varied. Tools like the waterboard, the electric drill, pliers, and, you know, if you got to go after the media too, so be it.
That's unsettling. I've noticed in many of President Bush's speeches that he's fond of using the word tool. For example, when he speaks of the Patriot Act, of course, that's part of that acronym, is tools to prevent terrorism. He's always talking about the tools he needs to fight the war on terror. Is it perhaps possible that President George Bush himself is a tool?
Well, I don't appreciate the implication there. I think I would say, though, that that's a good analogy. You know, if you're carving up a piece of clay, you got to have a sharp knife. Maybe you want something to spread it around like one of those putty knives, you know? You can just sort of scrape it around and shape it into whatever form you want. If you're cutting a hedge, you got to have some snippers or maybe something to chop somebody's fingers off. Whatever it takes, you know, you just get things done however you got to do it. Maybe you got to have a ratchet to shove up somebody's nose and make them talk. So be it. And I say, if what you need is a bomb to keep somebody's mouth closed permanently, then drop it on them and fix it. That's what a tool does. It fixes stuff.
Mr. Yesman, final question. Would you say that another such tool would be spying on American citizens right here on our own soil?
Oh, you betcha. Sure. If I got to take a cup and put it up to somebody's wall so I can catch a terrorist, well, I might have to put it up to a lot of walls. I might have to listen to a lot of boring conversations, hear somebody's stupid grocery list or liberal complaints. But I'll tell you, I'm going to catch that terrorist.
Thank you, Mr. Yesman. Your answers have been illuminating.
You betcha.
Harvey Yesman is a Heritage Foundation fellow and professional liologist. He is not paid to care about what you think.
And you're tuned in to National Corporate Radio. This is What's the Point? I'm Born Only. The topic for tonight's program, Alberto Gonzalez and the continually unfolding scandal about the spate of U.S. attorney firings. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez has been in the hot seat for months now over the firing last year of 9 U.S. attorneys last year. Both his competence and motives have been impugned. Now, Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty has resigned, and the Attorney General's comments at a press conference today seem to indicate that Gonzalez wants to stick the blame for this on his departing chief deputy. Joining us now, once again, to defend his actions or possibly take some other ones, is the Attorney General himself. Mr. Attorney General, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to publicly defend yourself and come on to our show and publicly defend yourself again.
Thank you, Boren. I really appreciate the chance here to be on your show. And let me just say that I'm not actually here to defend myself per se, but the act of defense is not really... It's not covered really in the Constitution. So I will be here to speak on my own behalf, but defense, let's let the people decide that.
Well, sure, that's what we have an audience for. So, Mr. Attorney General, anonymous sources from inside your department describe an acrimonious relationship between your office and that of the now departing Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty. I want to read a quote here from Time Magazine, and this is actually a quote from an anonymous senior justice official. This person said, quote, "There's a war going on between the Deputy Attorney General's office and the Attorney General's office. The thing that's 100% clear is that there's really no leadership. Both the Deputy Attorney General and the Attorney General are so compromised, there's no one running the department. There's a lot of antagonism between those two groups. The Deputy Attorney General is throwing Gonzalez and his team under the bus." Would you agree with that characterization?
No, I would not agree with that per se. You did bring up some interesting points, but what people need to understand is that there's often a misunderstanding of the role between the Attorney General's office and the lower offices. And what we really have here is a situation in which the Attorney General's lower offices are really failing to communicate in their communications through communicating with the Attorney General's office.
So, did you just say anything just now?
Yes, I believe I did, and I'm surprised I need to repeat myself here, but here is a situation in which the Attorney General's office is or is not having a difficult time communicating with the other factions of the Attorney General's office within that office and to the Attorney General.
You are the Attorney General, correct?
I am currently the Attorney General. Yes, that is correct.
So when you refer to the Attorney General saying something, you're actually saying that you're saying it.
On occasion, I am speaking for myself and speaking on behalf of the Attorney General, but sometimes I have the other people within my office speaking on my behalf instead of me for me when I need to speak.
Are you speaking for yourself now?
I'm right here.
So you are speaking as you, the human being named Alberto Gonzalez.
That is correct. I am Alberto Gonzalez, and I am here to clear up any things that need clarification here with this matter.
Well, I'm happy to have you here, and I'm...
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you may actually answer questions.
Oh, definitely. I'm here to answer your questions.
That's fabulous. Which would you say is more true, Mr. Attorney General?
Yes.
Your statement yesterday about Paul McNulty that, quote, I'm really going to miss him, or today's statement you made to the National Press Club that, quote, you have to remember at the end of the day, the recommendations reflected the views of the Deputy Attorney General. He signed off on the names, unquote. Sounds like you're going to miss him just enough to pin the whole fiasco on his back as he walks out the door.
That's a very interesting take on the whole situation. I'd have to answer that by saying yes.
Yes, you'll miss him?
That's not what I said, Owen.
Well, now, you did say, I'm really going to miss him. Those were your words.
Well, I have my words right in front of me here, Owen, and what I said, actually, was that people will be missed, and some missing will happen with quite a few people.
And that will be on the part of the Attorney General?
On the part of the Attorney General and my staff and the people of this great nation of the United States. You know, we've got to stick together here.
Do you think you're going to give him a card?
I may give him a card. The card will be signed by myself and others in the office, and that signature may not actually be mine.
The Attorney General's signature, though.
Yes, the Attorney General's signature.
Which would be yours.
Well, now, technically, what we have here is a situation.
How about chocolates? Are you going to get him some chocolates? I just wonder what a deputy attorney general rates as far as a parting gift. It's a question a lot of Americans want to know the answer to.
Well, I would be happy to give Americans an answer to that question because I think it's an important one.
Would you like to submit that in writing later?
Yes, stop it by my office, and we'll fax it in triplicate, and we'll get that back to you, and we'll have an answer for you in one way or the other that may or may not actually be an answer.
I'll have one of my interns send you an email. I want to go over to another one of our guests who's joining us tonight. This is Craig Bombas. He's a tenacious investigative reporter for the BBC. He was key to uncovering rampant voter fraud in the Florida election debacle of 2000, and he's since proven himself to be a serious nuisance to the powers that be, at least in Great Britain. But we've done a mostly thorough job of keeping him off the air in the United States, and while he joins us here today, I'll make sure to cut him off and belittle his mewling arguments at every turn. Craig, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Bourne. It's great to be here. I'm glad I had the chance to actually say something on a larger national scale. I hope that I will actually get
a
chance.
Well, let's try and keep it short. Craig, you've been digging around this story for a while now, particularly following the story of David Iglesias, fired U.S. attorney in New Mexico. Was this a case of Iglesias failing to play politics the way the Bush administration likes it, or was it professional jealousy from the attorney general here at having another Hispanic lawyer in the department?
It's interesting that you asked this, Bourne, because I've been looking into this for quite some time. And Iglesias, really, it wasn't a matter of like professional jealousy, more of amateur kind of jealousy is what I saw it as. Because when these requests were made of him, he felt like, okay, an offer of some cash might be nice, unmarked bills. None of that happened with him. It was just political leaning, boring, not lucrative. Not worth his time. So
I want to go ahead and cut you off and go back to the Attorney General.
I'd like to remind Boren to be careful of what he says here. Remember, there is no habeas corpus anymore.
I'm perfectly aware of that. Thank you very much. And I will make sure to cut off any of your enemies as much as possible. I want to turn it back.
That's not exactly what I was saying.
Well, what were you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, there's certain information you want to give out and certain information you want to keep. And when you want to keep that information, sometimes you need to give it out. And, you know, when you're going to give it out, sometimes, well, you guessed it. You need to keep it.
Well, I guess if you dish it, you better be ready to take it.
That's not exactly what I was saying, Orin.
All right. Well, I don't want to split hairs with you. I recognize you view certain rights as quaint, and I'll keep that in mind. I do want to.
We don't want to send anyone to Syria here. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. I hear it's kind of hot there this time of year, especially in a 4x6 cell. Attorney General Gonzalez, I want to pass that back to you. Do you feel perhaps that things might have worked out better with U.S. Attorney David Iglesias over in New Mexico if maybe you'd paid him off a little better?
Well, as you know, I'm not really able to answer a question that is under investigation currently when I am myself am being investigated in that exact investigation. However, if you're referring to New Mexico, I would have to say I'm really not at liberty to discuss New Mexico within the state of New Mexico or outside its borders.
Well, we're actually not within the state of New Mexico right now. So,
but we are outside its borders.
We are outside.
You're
going
to have to concede that point, Owen. I got you there.
You may win this time, but I'll be back. Craig, I want to pass that back to you. Does that jive with your thinking that that this is a matter under investigation? Have you heard that there is an investigation going on at the Justice Department right now into bribery or potential bribery of David Iglesias?
Bourne, this is a little bit tricky. So what you need to understand in this case is that right now there is an investigation going on to find out whether or not there's an investigation. So that takes us back a few layers, of course, kind of on a meta level. We'd like to think that there is an investigation in our government of wrongdoing, but so far all we have is an investigation of whether
or
not there's
an investigation. I want to go ahead and cut you off again and give...
Bourne, this is really
important.
I want
to go ahead and cut you off, if I may. Just a moment. I want to give the Attorney General an opportunity to deny that and cover that up. Attorney General, is there an investigation of the investigation that's ongoing of an investigation that may or may not actually be occurring?
Investigations that may or may not be actually occurring at the time that they occur could be or could not be occurring. So it's actually a little bit more complicated than that, Owen. But I will say this. When we're looking at these investigations, we have to remember our constitutional rights that come into this here. And our constitutional rights, our rights guaranteed in the Constitution, are not necessarily guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. So if we're looking at investigations on a constitutional level, we need to think about, where are these investigations coming from, and are our rights in the Constitution guaranteed by the Constitution as they're written in the Constitution? The answer is yes and no to that, Warren.
Craig, does that answer satisfy you?
There's blood coming out of one of my ears. I'm just going to get a towel.
That is also not a constitutional right.
Do you want me to get you other headphones? Are they?
I'm going
to
get a paper towel.
Are there razor blades in those?
I'm going to come right back.
Okay, great. I want to go to our final guest for tonight. Our final guest is someone that also worked at the Department of Justice, Monica Goodling. She was the Justice Department's liaison to the White House until very recently when she resigned over her role in the U.S. attorney firings. She was asked shortly thereafter to testify about what she knew in Congress, but recused herself, citing the Fifth Amendment's protection against self-incrimination. She's since been granted immunity from prosecution in exchange for her testimony, which we're hoping to scoop right now. Ms. Goodling, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Praise Jesus.
And pass the ammunition. Ms. Goodling, you've described yourself as a devout Christian. What part of Scripture did you feel you were fulfilling when you recommended the acts for these eminently qualified attorneys?
I want to say that there's probably no part of Scripture that I wasn't using at this point. In general, I feel that the Lord is going to really weed out the evildoers in this case. I think the Lord is really going to help me find the way in terms of my testimony, and that's really how I'm going to answer the question. It's all up to the Lord right now.
I see. I want to pass it back to the Attorney General. This is someone who was in your employ just very recently. Is this the kind of employee you look for, someone who looks to divine guidance in all of their hiring and firing decisions?
Well, I'd like to answer that question, Boren, by just stating once and for all that, this entire hiring and firing of attorneys situation debacle that we have here happening, I would like to take full responsibility for this this action. And as the Attorney General, I feel I need to take full responsibility by telling you that I could not possibly be held responsible for the actions of my staff that I did not know about.
I see.
What was your question?
You seem to have trouble on many occasions getting into any kind of specifics or details. For example, in your testimony to Congress, I believe you said, "I cannot recall or I can't remember more than 45 times." Why is that? Do you have a memory problem?
Boren, I do not recall not recalling that.
Okay, so you're saying that you don't remember not remembering?
That is correct. I do not recall not recalling that information, yes.
Okay. Do you remember when I couldn't remember what it was I couldn't remember?
I can remember some of the things you can't remember, and some of the things you can't remember are beyond my control.
I'm glad to see the wiretapping program is working out that effectively. I want to pass it back
to... Let's talk about wiretapping. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Did you want to comment on
wiretapping? Oh, that's all right.
All right.
Well, wiretapping is very important. I mean, what the president is doing here is completely lawful, completely legal, what we have going on here. And we've come under, this administration has come under quite a bit of scrutiny over this whole wiretapping thing. And, you know, I just want to make sure everybody understands that when we're tapping your wires, it's for a good reason. And it's because, you know, we want to tap your wires.
I see. Well, that's a disturbing sentiment indeed. It looks like Craig Bombast has returned with a Band-Aid on one of his ears, and he doesn't seem to be bleeding too profusely, so I'm going to pass a question back to him and hopefully get another opportunity to cut him off. Craig, you somehow managed to turn up 500 of the so-called missing emails between Rove's operatives and Justice Department officials, some of which contain caging lists designed to disenfranchise African-American voters. The chief architect of these caging lists is a man named Tim Griffin, who has replaced one of the 9 fired attorneys to become the new U.S. attorney for the state of Arkansas. Craig, is that fucked up or what?
Yes and no, Boren. We have a great way to catch a lot of these emails that Republicans may not realize they're sending. I have some friends and associates that have all kinds of different domains, including a famous one known in the .com realm as Republican blondeskanks.com. We have republicanblondeskanks.org. So some people think they're going to be reaching the hot spot for instant babe gratification in the Republican conservative realm. They're going to be sending their unmentionables to us. So that's what happened with this. We also have some access to gwbush.org. So we receive these emails, and the information's amazing in there. I mean, here we are being told by Rove that they're not going to be revealed, and then let me tell you something. We got these emails, and there's information in there that's really going to blow the lid off of this
thing.
This is
already way too much.
No, I think we're going to have to not this at all.
Boren, that's unpatriotic.
I want to pass it back to you. It sounds like you've been...
That's unpatriotic.
It sounds to me like...
Reading my emails...
If I may ask, it sounds like the wiretapper's been wiretapped. Have you been scooped by somebody else here?
Any scooping, wiretapping, or dissemination of my drawers whatsoever is unpatriotic. I'm going to say that firmly right now. It's unpatriotic, and you know, when we wiretap you, we're wiretapping you for a good reason, because you're a terrorist. That's why we're wiretapping you. But if you're going to come back and you're going to read my emails, official government emails sent out to government employees that should be part of the information that's given out during a legal lawsuit, but should not be part of the information given out during a legal lawsuit, I'm going to tell you that that's unpatriotic. So which side of this war are you on? Are you on the side of this war that's against terrorists, or are you on the side of this war that's for terrorists and reading my email?
Well, I think that's a question every American's going to have to ask themselves. I'll go ahead and ask Craig Bombast, though. Are you on the side of the terrorists?
We are on the side of information and justice. The American people need to know what their government is doing. And that's why we're doing this. And that's why we own the domain of republicanblondeskanks.org, because we believe in justice and families and children. And we're going to get to the bottom of this. You can try to cut my mic, but it's not going to matter.
Okay, I want to ask Ms. Goodman a question.
I think we're going to have to have him removed. The information of terror.
Looks like... Oh, it's a shame. It looks like he's going to have to be indefinitely detained now.
I thank you for that, Boren, because that man was definitely a terrorist. And
well, don't thank me. It's
your
department.
What's his phone number? We're going to take care of him right now.
Well, looks like justice was served, or it's justice. It looks like some kind of justice occurred. I'm not really sure. Ms. Goodling, I wanted to ask you.
I'm filling out this order. How do you spell Syria? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll have one of my interns spell it out for you. Ms. Goodling, one final question. A senior administration official close to the investigation has said, quote, "Though there may be a feeling that Gonzalez has at last stemmed the tide against him, it looks premature to declare victory before Goodling says what she knows about the Attorney General's and the White House's involvement in the firings. Before people get too cocky about the Attorney General surviving, they need to sit back and await that event," unquote. Any chance you want to screw up your former boss's life right now on a national program? Could we perhaps pay you to do that?
Syria.
I don't think so. I really think that he's a good Christian, and I know that the good Lord is going to really... The good Lord's going to decide this. I don't have the right to decide any of these things or really say whether or not he was right or I was right. And luckily, we have someone. We have a higher power who can make those decisions.
Any chance
and George Bush.
Any chance you recall any of these things he doesn't recall, like maybe why these people were fired?
You know, I've prayed on that quite a bit, and there are not many things that I recall in terms of what he doesn't recall. I recall that he didn't recall them, but I'm not quite...
I do recall not recalling,
yes.
Recalling not recalling them.
I recall that you told me that you couldn't recall not recalling them, and then
I
you
recall that
them.
Conversation.
Yes.
So that's at least 4 degrees of unrecollection, as I measure it.
I don't want to put a label on it, Boren, but... you know, you've got things that you recall and things that you don't recall, and this God-fearing woman here is recalling things she doesn't recall that she can recall, and that's why there's a problem, and that's why there's a solution. Now, obviously, McNulty is to blame for this whole thing. I don't know why everyone's putting me on the hot seat for this.
He's a bad Christian.
The man had it coming.
So you're saying he was a Christian, just not a good one, Ms. Goodling?
Yes, I really feel like he lost his way. I think that's what it was.
Did it have anything to do with what he was able to recall?
He recalled a little too much. And I think as a good Christian, he would stop recalling some of the things he shouldn't be recalling.
He should have recalled not to recall so many things he recalled.
Exactly.
Total recall. Is there some association between the devil and memory?
I think so.
I see. There's one actually, I almost forgot that he was asleep in the corner, but he just woke up. There's one final person I wanted to bring into this discussion, and that's NCR's very senior commentator, Daniel Snor. Daniel, I recognize you're probably still just waking up and rubbing the sand out of your eyes, but Daniel, you're an old hand covering corruption in Washington, D.C. I believe you were there for the Johnson impeachment. That was a while ago. How serious is this current controversy compared to ones that have preceded it?
Well, Boren, I would say that this one is, it's a whopper, but it's a French fry-sized whopper, if I could mix metaphors there, and you could digest it in one bite. Well, let me put it this way, you could put it in your mouth in one bite, but I think it would take months to digest it, just like a French fry would, and, this Alberto Gonzalez fella here, well, I've known him since he was just a twinkle in his mom's eye, and he's a sweet man, a terrible liar, but a sweet idiot who probably should be hung or given a medal. I'm not sure which, but I hope both happen, and I think there's room for that still in his life, and you've got a lot to look forward to, young man.
Thank you, Daniel. And let me just say that I love not loving the fact that I don't love your work. And thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me not to thank you with this compliment. Thank you.
Well, that's almost as backhanded as my own ambivalence. But I will say that if I could crush you more than I would love you, then I'd do both. God damn it, I would. Thanks. You can go back to sleep. I think that's going to do it for today, or at least for this portion of our program. But do stay close, because right after the break, we'll be speaking with Pat Robertson. So,
Have you seen my glasses? I cannot recall where I put them.
Well, I think Daniel, he went back to sleep on them. I think you're going to have to move them a little bit. All right. Well, we're gonna have to leave it there. But we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Pat Robertson right here on National Corporate Radio's What's the Point?
Day to come. I feel wonder. This life let me wonder.
Barn Only back. Barn Only back with What's the Point? And we are now going to turn to the topic of the Reverend Jerry Falwell, who has just passed away. And many people are very sad about this, of course. The Reverend Jerry Falwell, many consider him the father of the modern televangelist movement, as well as one of the key leaders of the Christian right. His influence on the landscape of American politics can't be overstated. And joining me now to discuss the Reverend's legacy and ultimate destination is another well-known televangelist and regular guest on this program, the Reverend Pat Robertson. Pat, always a pleasure, I'm supposed to say, or I'm going to hell.
Thank you, Boren. It's good to be here most of the time.
So, the Reverend Jerry Falwell is now gone from us at age 73. And it's a sad moment and to many people. What are your thoughts on the passing of the Reverend?
Well, really, Boren, it's not a sad moment for me because I'm filled with bliss right now because I know that the Reverend Falwell is in not just a better place, but the best place possible. Things are good right now for my brother, Jerry.
Yeah, so you're saying that he is in heaven with the Lord.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I've told you before, Boren, that the Lord does speak to me. And when he speaks unto me, I do tend to listen very carefully.
And what did he say to you?
Well, he said to me, my son, Pat Robertson, I'm going to hand the phone over to Jerry Falwell right now. And then I spoke to Jerry shortly after he arrived. He hadn't even unpacked his bags.
Wait, let me back up here just a minute, if I may, Pat. So you're saying that when God talks to you, he calls you on the telephone.
Well, it's sort of a metaphor.
Okay, so you don't actually pick up a phone.
The Lord is on his holy horn.
Do you pick up a spiritual phone?
It's not for me to describe to you my personal relationship with the Lord. But I will tell you what he says to me when I think it's important for you to know what he said to me.
But is it like a phone? I mean, do you pick something up? Or
Boren, you're just not holy enough if you have to ask.
Well, I'm a reporter. It's my job to ask.
It's my job to maintain the good relationship I have with our Lord and Savior.
So it's a secret way that you speak with God.
I can't say whether it's secret, but it's secret to me.
I see. So you don't even know yourself then, because it's secret to you.
I feel that the Lord speaks to me in clear ways. And that's why I have a special role in this world, is to speak to all the citizens of planet Earth and to help them make it to where our friend and brother Jerry Falwell is right now.
So when you speak to the Lord, is the coverage always the same, or are there dropout areas where you can't really talk with the Lord as well?
Well, that's interesting that you would ask that, Bourne, because, you know, as I said earlier, I did make, people called it a prediction. Of course, it's not a prediction. It's just merely me reporting what the Lord has prophesied to me. And I made some predictions about hurricane season that didn't come around in the year that I spoke of. Now, people want to point to me and say, oh, well, maybe the Lord isn't speaking to you. Oh, maybe the Lord is trying to set you up with some false prophecies. Oh, maybe your hearing is going bad. Now, I will admit that I am a sinner and I have my flaws. The Lord has never stuttered. He has always spoken to me clearly. It could be that I had trouble through the wickedness of my sin, and I could not hear him clearly. And maybe when I said, here's the prophecy of the Lord about the sinner is going to be smote by the hurricane season, maybe at that time I had misheard what he said through the wickedness of my sin. So, yes, in that regard, I guess I would try to say in response to your question, the connection can be bad, but only when it's my fault as a sinner before the Lord.
I see. Well, that's very humble. However, we were talking about Jerry Falwell, so let's stop talking about you. Jerry Falwell's legacy has been to bring together politics and religion in a way that hadn't been done beforehand, really, in American political life. Is this a legacy that you're hoping now to carry forward, and is this something that you think is a proud achievement for the Reverend?
Absolutely. I mean, he is a pioneer. He was a pioneer on Earth. He is now a pioneer in the heavenly afterworld.
Is the heaven distinct from heaven?
The heaven is what I like to call the place where those who are holy will go as their just reward.
That's the heaven?
It's just what I like to say as heaven.
But not the heaven. That's something else.
I do say the heaven.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay. All right.
Thank
well,
you.
That's a thank you. One of the things that Jerry Falwell had said in his time, he said many controversial remarks, but one that particularly inflamed a lot of passion was in 2002, he referred to the Prophet Muhammad as a terrorist. He later apologized for this remark. Do you agree with it?
I do agree that he apologized.
Do you agree that Muhammad is a terrorist?
I've never met Muhammad. I know that there are prophets and there are false prophets. And I would say that those who speak false prophecy, now I'm not speaking about myself making an incorrect error about a prophecy that I heard from the Lord, but I am speaking of those who might try to preempt speakers to the Lord by speaking of their misspoken prophecies. In that regard, that is a form of terror because you can mislead many people who might be faithful to the Lord and down the wrong path, the path of Satan.
So, if misunderstanding is equivalent to terror, then if someone were to, say, miss a math question on an exam, say an SAT, would that be a form of terrorism?
It can run the range from wicked sin to pure terror. Yes, Bourne, I think you're on the right track with that.
Well,
at Regent University, we try to minimize the errors and maximize the holiness. And I just take this to another. Back to the Falwell, as you said, we must speak about him.
Yes.
His Liberty University also followed that dictum to a T. It's about the holiness. That's number one. Mm. If you're going to get a degree at Regent University or Liberty University, you know you have to be on the right track for the Lord.
You probably saw one of your graduates here in the green room. Monica Goodling was just in the previous interview.
Very pleased with what she had to say today.
I'm sure you are. Shortly after the attacks of 9/11, the Reverend Jerry Falwell said that gays, atheists, civil rights activists, and legal abortions in the U.S. had angered God and, quote, helped this happen.
Well, I do support what my brother Falwell said. And you missed one category, gaytheists also.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yes. He did lay some of the blame at their feet, and I believe he pointed a finger in their faces, collectively speaking. I think I was on board with that, but you kind of have to parse it down a little bit, because it's not really so much about the Lord allowing it to happen. That would make us sound like he's harboring terrorists, and that's not, of course, what we mean to say at all. But I think what we do mean is those who give into the ways of Satan do open the door to his influence. Now, we know that our God is just, and we know that he's omnipotent, and we know that the power of prayer can prevent a lot of ills. But sometimes, when people allow Satan to come into their hearts, we know those hearts turn dark. And when those hearts turn dark, it's time to watch out for the reaping of what they've sown. And I believe that is partially what happened. I'm not going to blame these people directly, but I think Falwell was onto something when he said it's time for this country and our citizens to repent. We don't want this to happen again. The hurricanes are another example. Katrina, as I said earlier.
Jerry Falwell, someone who's known to you personally, did you spend more of your time thinking of him as a colleague or as a rival?
That's another interesting question. I can't say really a rival, because not to speak ill of the departed, because I wouldn't do that, but Reverend Falwell was a rather rotund individual. As you know, I've been selling my power shakes for a great workout, and maybe you've seen some of my videos. I'm in great shape, so I'm not saying that as a way to amplify the competition angle of it, but I am going to say to you that he's an inspiration to me. He has been, he will continue to be an inspiration to me. And I won't even say to you, had he used my shakes, he may not have left so early, because I believe the Lord did call him, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, on that note, did you ever recommend to him, because he did have heart troubles, and in fact that's what ended up taking his life, that perhaps he get on your power shake diet and shape up a little bit?
That thought did occur to me. I prayed on it. Now, when the Lord spoke to me about this, he said, Pat, he does sometimes call me Pat. Pat, Falwell is going to be helping me up here soon. Maybe it's necessary for him to remain corpulent. And so I listened to what the Lord said, and I said, it's not for me to interfere with the working, the mysterious workings of the Lord.
So you're saying you actually withheld information about your power shakes from Jerry Falwell that he might perish more quickly?
I won't say that. I mean,
not saying that.
My products are available everywhere, including the internet, and I think that he had every opportunity. And I believe he did get a free sample in a gift basket, so I'm not going to say I withheld it from him. That's inaccurate.
Okay, well, I don't want to mischaracterize what you did.
Appreciate that.
All right. So you can say then, with a clean conscience, that you didn't contribute to his death.
I can say that, absolutely. All I can say to you is that the Lord works in mysterious ways, unless the Lord tells me what he's up to.
Pat Robertson, I want to thank you very much for sharing with us your intimate knowledge of the Lord and what you knew of Jerry Falwell, the very large dead man.
Thank you for having me on, Bourne. Hope to see you again real soon and stay in the righteous path.
Will do. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us tonight. This has been What's the Point? I'm Bourne Only. Please tune in next week for another exciting edition of What's the Point? And that's the show. I guess that's pretty much it. We're done. You've been listening to The People Who Do That's Comedy Hour right here on killradio.org. You can tune us in any time of the day or night at your leisure at ncrnews.com. That's National Corporate Radio News, ncrnews.com. So I encourage you to do so.